Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grupo Financiero Galicia's fourth quarter 2024 earnings call. This conference is being recorded, and the replay will be available at the company's website at gfgsa.com. We would like to inform you that all attendees will only be listening to the conference during the presentation, and then we'll start the Q&A section when further instructions will be provided. Some of the statements made during this conference call will be forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Safe Harbor provision of the U.S. federal securities laws and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed. Investors should be aware of events related to the macroeconomic scenario, the financial industry, and other factors that could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Pablo Firvida, Head of Investor Relations. You may begin your conference, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to this conference call. I'm here today with Gonzalo Fernández Covaro, the newly appointed CFO of Grupo Financiero Galicia and former CFO of HSBC Argentina. I will make a short introduction and then we will take your questions. According to the Monthly Economic Activity Indicator, EMAE, Argentina's economy recorded a year-over-year growth of 5.5% in December compared to December 2023. Meanwhile, the expansion during the fourth quarter reached 1.3% in seasonally adjusted terms. Latest EMAE figures indicate Argentina's economy contracted by 1.8% on average during 2024. In the fourth quarter of 2024, the primary surplus stood at 0.14% of GDP, contrasting with a primary deficit of 1.49% in the fourth quarter of 2023. In 2024, the primary surplus stood at 1.8% of GDP, and the overall fiscal surplus was of 0.3% of GDP. This implied a significant improvement against the 2.9% primary deficit for 2023, result that was explained by a 206% increase in revenues year over year, while primary spending rose by 134%. The National Consumer Price Index recorded an 8% increase during the fourth quarter of 2024 and reached 117.8% annual variation in 2024, down from 211.4% inflation in 2023. Monthly inflation has been decelerating, declining from 25.5% in December 2023 to 2.2% in January 2025. The central bank devalued the exchange rate by 54.2% on December 13, 2023, after which a 2% monthly crawling peg was maintained throughout 2024. In December 2024, the exchange rate averaged 1,020.7 pesos per dollar, reflecting a 45.5% year-over-year devaluation. As of February 1, 2025, the central bank reduced the exchange rate crawl to 1% per month. Since the administration took office, the central bank has reduced the policy interest rate 8 times, from 133% to its current 29%. In December 2024, the average rate on peso-denominated private sector time deposits for up to 59 days stood at 33%, 89 percentage points below the December 2023 average. Private sector deposits in pesos averaged 74.3 trillion pesos in December, increasing by 20.9% during the quarter and 127.3% in the last 12 months. Time deposits rose 27% during the quarter and 176.2% in the year. Peso-denominated transactional deposits increased 15.2% during the fourth quarter and 93.3% in year-over-year terms. Private sector dollar-denominated deposits amounted to $31.8 billion in December 2024, increasing 35.6% during the quarter and 119.7% in the last 12 months. Peso-denominated loans to the private sector averaged 50.6 trillion pesos in December, showing a 31% quarterly increase and a 228.8% year-over-year rise. Private sector dollar-denominated loans amounted to $9.9 billion, recording a 37.4% quarterly growth and a 186% annual increase. Before going to the figures for the fourth quarter and for the fiscal year of 2024, it is worth to mention that on December 6th, the closing of the acquisition of HSBC operations in Argentina took place, consolidating Grupo Financiero Galicia's position as the largest private sector financial group in Argentina. As a result of this transaction, 724.5 billion pesos gain was recorded, which corresponds to the difference between the fair value of the acquired companies and the amount paid. This result, net of adjustments and provisions related to the transaction, totaled 485 billion pesos. Turning now to Grupo Financiero Galicia, net income for 2024 amounted to 1.6 trillion pesos, 121% higher than in the previous year, which represented a 7% return on average assets and a 34% return on average shareholders' equity. The result was mainly due to profits from Banco Galicia for 1.3 trillion pesos, from Naranja X for 228 billion pesos, and from Galicia Asset Management for 68 billion pesos, partially offset by an 8.1 billion pesos loss from Galicia Seguros. Going to the fourth quarter, net income attributable to Grupo Financiero Galicia amounted to 574 billion pesos, 203% higher from the year-ago quarter, mainly due to profits from Banco Galicia for 527 billion pesos, from Naranja X for 23 billion pesos, from Galicia Asset Management for 19 billion pesos, and 3.9 billion pesos from Galicia Seguros. This profit represented a 7.9% annualized return on average assets and a 45% return on average shareholders' equity. Going to Banco Galicia, net income for the quarter was 527 billion pesos profit, 311% higher than in the same quarter of 2023, as a 575 billion pesos gain was recorded due to the acquisition of HSBC operations in Argentina. At the bank level, provisions for restructuring for almost 100 billion pesos were recorded. The operating result decreased 83% from the year-ago quarter, primarily due to a 58% lower net operating income, as net interest income decreased 56% and results from gold and foreign currency quotation differences went down 97%. Average interest earning assets reached 11.7 trillion pesos, 7% higher than in the same quarter of 2023, primarily due to a 542% increase of the average portfolio of dollar-denominated loans and of a 26% in loans in pesos, partially offset by a 78% reduction in the average balance of other interest-earning assets in pesos. In the same period, its yield decreased 52 percentage points, reaching 39.95%. Interest-bearing liabilities increased 47% from December 2023, amounting to 11.9 trillion pesos, primarily due to the increase of deposits in dollars. During this period, its cost decreased 58 percentage points to 15.4%. Net interest income decreased 56% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2023. This was the result of a 63% decrease in interest income because of lower interest on government securities, on repo transactions, and on loans to the private sector, together with a 69% decrease in interest expenses, mainly due to lower interest on time deposits. Net fee income increased 10% from December 2023 due to increases in most of the products and services. Net income from financial instruments increased 234% due to higher results from government securities. Gains from gold and FX quotation differences were 97% lower from the year-ago quarter, including the results from foreign currency trading. Other operating income decreased 30% in the quarter, while provision for loan losses increased 80% because of the growth of the financing portfolio. Personal expenses were 20% higher than in the fourth quarter of 2023, primarily due to the recording of a 100 billion pesos provision for restructuring expenses. Administrative expenses increased 15% due to higher expenses for maintenance and repair of goods and IT, which were up 33%, to a 34% growth of fees and compensation for services, and to a 13% increase of hired administrative services. Other operating expenses decreased 36% due to a 52% lower turnover tax related to financial operations. The bank's financing to the private sector reached 10.5 trillion pesos at the end of the quarter, up 76% in the last 12 months, with dollar-denominated financing growing 157% and peso financing increasing 56%. By credit line, promissory notes increased 119%, personal loans 159%, and credit card financing 31%. Net exposure to the public sector decreased 40% year over year due to the reduction of repo transactions and of government securities in pesos. This exposure represented 22% of total assets as of the end of the quarter, compared to 41% of the year before. Deposits reached 14.3 trillion pesos, 18% higher than a year before, mainly due to a 66% increase in dollar deposits, partially offset by a 5% decrease in deposits in pesos. The bank's estimated market share of loans to the private sector was 12.8%, 189 basis points higher than at the end of a year ago quarter, and the market share of deposits from the private sector was 13.8%, 396 basis points higher than in the same quarter of 2023. The bank's liquid assets represented 63.6% of transactional deposits and 44.5% of total deposits, compared to 96.9% and 67.7% respectively from a year before. As regards asset quality, the ratio of non-performing loans to total financing ended the quarter at 1.85%, recording a 49 basis points improvement as compared to the 2.34% of the fourth quarter of the prior year. At the same time, the coverage with allowances reached 186.3%, up 44.6 percentage points from the 141.6% recorded a year ago. As of the end of December 2024, the bank's total regulatory capital ratio reached 18.5%, decreasing 626 basis points from the end of the same quarter of 2023. Mainly due to the deduction of the equity participation in Galicia Más. This ratio, consolidated in accordance with the rules established by the Central Bank, amounted to 21.6%. In summary, Grupo Financiero Galicia was able to keep asset quality, liquidity, solvency, and profitability metrics at very healthy levels. We are now ready to answer the questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to start the Q&A section for investors and analysts. If you wish to ask a question, please press the raise hand button. If your question has already been answered, you can leave the queue by clicking on the same button. Wait while we pull for questions.
Okay, from Brian Flores, the first question, right?
The first question comes from Brian Flores from Citi. Please, Mr. Flores, your microphone's open.
Thank you, team. Good morning for the opportunity to ask questions. I have two questions. The first one is on your projections for ROE of this year. I know conditions have been changing a lot, so just wanted to hear how should we think in terms of growth and ROE for this year? And then, if I may, a second question on capital. We saw a very strong consumption of Tier 1 ratio from quarter to quarter. So if you could help us think about how will you gonna fund the growth in the coming quarters? If would you raise capital or dollars, for example, now that it can be used on the asset side? Would you be open to make a follow-on, or are you all considering that it's going to be all organic funding? Just because the level of capital seems a bit tighter now to fund growth. So just wanted to hear your thoughts on both of these. Thank you very much.
Okay, hello, Brian. Well, first, regarding the growth, we are seeing so far in January and February a better growth rates in loans than expected. So I would say that at least loans would be growing from December to December, not on average, around 50%. Deposits would be growing something below perhaps 35%, but of course, beginning from different starting points, different stocks between deposits and loans. ROE, well, you saw that 2024 was some kind of extraordinary due to the first half in which we were benefited by increases in government. In the prices of government securities plus the acquisition of HSBC. So we ended with around 34% real ROE. In 2025, we will not have these two extraordinary items. And also, we will be, I would say, focusing on merging the operations of Galicia and HSBC, so there will be some extraordinary expenses, although we provision part of that in the fourth quarter. But we are forecasting that the ROE will be in the area of 15% in real terms, with the idea that beginning in 2026, we should be getting or trying to have KPIs on ROEs in the area of between, I would say, 15 and 20% again in real terms. So 2025 will be a year of transition, and then ROEs should be rebounding. In terms of capital, there is a little bit or some technical issues. Let me explain. The total capital ratio on a standalone basis for Banco Galicia was 18.5. That includes the how do you say
deduction.
The deduction, thank you, of the equity participation of Galicia Más. If we consolidate that, we will get to 21.6. And also in the capital to take into account or to make the calculation of the capital ratio due to central bank rules, we are not taking today 100% of the result of the fourth quarter. So that will be taken in at the end of February. or beginning March. So if we were adjusting that capital ratio for that 2 month lag, the capital ratio would be in the order of 24%. According to our estimates, we will not be needing any capital increase, not in 25, 26, and even 27, when and if the need appears. We would be willing to raise capital, but again, with this with the assumptions we have in our forecast, we are okay.
Just to add to that, I mean, Galicia Mass, which is the former HSBC, has a very strong capital ratio. So when we consolidate both ratios, we go up to 24. Here you see 18 because of what already Pablo mentioned, that as a technicality, you need to deduct the participation in HSBC or Galicia Mass. But after June, when this is consolidated, our capital ratio will go up, and we expect to end the year with between 19 and 20%. So no need for capital for this year. And also, according to projection, next year also we shouldn't need capital.
Perfect. And just last follow-up here. So in terms of dividends, do you think maybe 2025, as you were mentioning, transitioning lower ROE, should we also expect maybe a lower dividend distribution in 2025?
Well, we are going to pay dividends in May after the shareholders' meeting. The proposal is subject to the approval of the central bank. Or so far, they didn't update the regulation. In the case of Grupo Financiero Galicia, we depend from dividends from the different subsidiaries. We want to pay 88 billion pesos coming from Naranja X, the insurance business, asset management, and so on. And we are forecasting 400 billion pesos coming from the bank to Grupo Financiero Galicia, but subject to the regulation of the central bank.
It's the same amount in dollars than prior year, but a lower proportion of retained earnings, let's say. But in dollars, should be similar to what we paid last year, considering a very high result that we are having this year, no?
Perfect. Very clear. Thank you.
You're welcome, Brian.
Our next question comes from Carlos Lopez from HSBC. Please, Mr. Lopez, your microphone's open.
Yes, thank you very much. So, two questions. First, in terms of the dividend, do you need to pay a dividend? I mean, you are projecting high growth. Yes, you can pay it from the subsidiaries, you can take some from the bank, but if you are thinking that by 2027 you might already get into, you know, the need for capital for growth, why do you need to pay a dividend at this point? My second question refers to inflation adjustments. As we go into a lower inflation phase, when do you think that you could contemplate, or the regulation could contemplate, moving out of inflation accounting? What year would that be? Would that be announced, and what year would that be effective? Thank you so much.
On the first part of dividends, I mean, according to our estimations, we shouldn't need capital for including 2027. So 25, 26, and 27, we don't need capital until the end of 28. We'll need to see how it continues, but for the next 3 years, including this, we are not needing capital. Our strategy is to continue to pay a standardized level of dividends to our shareholders. Just a practice, we are trying to get to a common or a standardized level of dividends, considering the high profits that we are reporting. And in reality, again, we are not needing capital for 2027 according to our projections. So it's 3 year times, and we'll see in 2028, but it's not for sure that we will need to go and raise capital. We need to see how the variables evolve. But the idea was to continue paying like a standardized dividends yearly.
And sorry, if I can inquire there, so that standard is the same amount in dollars, the same amount in
No, I mean,
pesos, the
we
same
don't have yet
UPS?
a policy. Now it's the same amount in dollar. This year, we are trying to get to a percentage on the results. We are not ready to provide a guidance on that, but we want, as Argentina stabilized, we are able to, predict better the future. We plan to get to a standardized event and to provide a guidance. We are not ready to do that so, but that's why we didn't want to say, well, we are not paying any dividend, no, as you were saying before.
Okay.
Regarding the how the when the inflation accounting will stop, you need to have a it's like
3 years of accumulated inflation. Well, Carlos,
less than
yeah,
100%. Yes,
exactly.
yes.
When actually we began adjusted by inflation, when for 3 years the accumulated inflation came above 100%. In order to eliminate that, we need 3 years of accumulated inflation below 100%. So if this year is, let's say, 23, 25%, and the two following years are in the same level, in 2028, we could be having our numbers not adjusted by inflation.
And that something is not defined by the entity, of course, it's defined by the group of international auditors that qualifies the country. So after you have that inflation accumulative below 100%, projections should be that you will continue to do that. And then this task force that meets, I think, regularly can decide if Argentina can get out. It's not something that we can decide unilaterally, but after having these 3 years below 100%, we are in conditions to apply for that, no? To
Okay. And these are calendar years, right? So it would be
yeah,
25,
yeah.
26, 27, and then they would design 28, and it might apply already in 28 or already in 29.
I mean, it's I didn't know the math, but it's again, it's 3 full calendar years of lower than 100%, and then country is available for this task force to decide that the country can move out from that list. In theory, in the next 3 years, we should be able, if this continues, to move that. So it's 25, 26, 27, maybe in 28. But again, it's something that it's not that easy to predict.
Thank you. And if I can follow up, I don't think you have mentioned what your expectations are for inflation and exchange rate for this year or next.
Yes. Our chief economist is forecasting, well, in general, a very good year with a 5.5% GDP growth, inflation in the range of 23 and 25%. And the devaluation of the official exchange rate is similar to the estimated inflation. The question there is when the effects CEPO, as we call it, all these restrictions on the effects will be lifted, and if that will imply some kind of jump or intervention from the central bank. But in the base case scenario, these are his estimates.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Carlos.
Our next question comes from Pedro Offenhenden from Latin Securities. Please, Mr. Pedro, your microphone's open.
Hi, Pablo. Hi, Gonzalo. Thank you for the call. I have two questions regarding securities. How do you expect the weight of securities to evolve in 2025 this year? And if do you have any projections on how the loan to asset and security to asset ratio could be throughout this year?
Excellent. Hi, Pedro. Well, as we were saying in previous calls and meetings, the breakdown of our assets was strange. And we were saying that the government exposure should be going down while loans to the private sector should be going up. Actually, in some quarters ago, government exposure represented 40% of total assets. and loans to the private sector around 30%. And this quarter changed completely. The loans represent around 42% of the total assets in the case of the bank, and government exposure 22% of total assets. So we are going into that trend. When we think or look at years like 2017 or 2018, loans to the private sector represented roughly 65% of total assets, and government bonds around 15. So gradually we should be getting to these numbers. Of course, in the past we had lots of government bonds because we were forced to take time deposits with a minimum interest rate, and loan demand was not there due to high inflation and high nominal interest rates. That's why we ended with a big portion of our assets being government bonds, and also in the past a central bank paper. But as the system is normalizing, loans should be gaining share while government bonds should be losing share.
Thank you, Pablo. And if I can ask on the timing of that, like going back to the 2017 or 18 levels, could be the end of this year, 2026.
Well, perhaps in many times Argentina surprised us for the good and for the bad. Changes are quicker than expected. With the loan demand we are seeing, perhaps already at the end of this year, we could be perhaps not 65, but 60 or so. So we are seeing a very strong demand, as I mentioned, also already in January and February. So perhaps by year end, we could be having 60% of loans compared to total assets. And of course, a reduction in government exposure.
Thank you, Pablo. Very clear.
You're welcome, Pedro.
Our next question comes from Jorge Mauro from Fundamenta. Please, Mr. Mauro, your microphone's open.
Yes, hello. My question is regarding the provisions at Naranja X. When you look at the provisioning this quarter, they increased more than 100%. It's 150 Q&Q. So I'm just trying to understand what has been driven this, and what should we expect going forward?
Excellent. Hi, Jorge. Well, in the case of Naranja X, they increased the cost of risk roughly from 9% to 18%. This is extraordinary. Why? For two reasons. The first one is they were using an expected loss model that took into account certain variables that they use for a credit card lending. That was the main product in the past. Once they began being a financial company, so therefore taking deposits and granting personal loans, now the personal loans need another type of variables in order to estimate future losses. So they did all this change in the fourth quarter, and also they changed the number of days in which they need to have charge-offs. So it was extraordinary, and we think going forward it should get back to a more normal level, like this 9% or 9.5% they had in previous quarters.
Okay, so essentially, as you now you have a one-off hit because you need to increase provisions. Okay, I got
Yes.
it. So on a recurring basis, it should go back to around 9-10%.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jorge.
Our next question comes from Brian Flores from Citi. Please, Mr. Floridis, your microphone's open.
Thank you for the opportunity to ask another question. Just Pablo, wanted to ask you on the grant of tarjetas naranja and also the volatility that this has driven, right? We saw third quarter with over 40% levels of ROE. Now we have around 11, and particularly grados were increasing very strongly over the quarter. So if you could just explain if this is some seasonality, some deterioration in, I don't know, the credit conditions, anything that you could help us provide, sorry, provide to help us understand a bit better would be great. Thank you.
Well, hi Brian again. Well, I think I answered that to Jorge in the previous answer or question, but basically it's an extraordinary quarter because they changed the expected loss model. Basically, they had certain or some variables that were used in the past for calculating the expected losses on credit card financing. And now, as they are growing very fast with personal loans, they needed to adjust this model because personal loan financing is riskier than credit card financing. And also, they changed the charge-off methodology. Basically, they changed the number of days in which they begin having this charge-off. So the cost of risk increased from 9 to 18, basically, big numbers. It should get back down to levels of 9 to 10% cost of risk. Also, Naranja X is investing a lot in growth. So that's why you see some deduction or reduction in ROEs. They are growing very fast in number of clients, actually around 200,000 clients per month. So they are investing to grow. But all the operational variables are very healthy.
Super helpful, Pablo. If I may, so then how should we think about the structural levels of ROE of tarjetas? Do you think it's due to its efficiency, because I know it's very good, it's like something above 25, close to 30, or do you think it's more close to the 20 as the consolidated group?
Well, as they are in this investment and growth mood, I think during this year we will see 15 to 20% real ROE. And then the target will be to have somewhat higher, typically in normal conditions, as Naranja X tackles riskier segments, their ROE should be somewhat higher than the bank.
Perfect, Pablo. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Just as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please use the raise hand button. Wait while we pull for questions.
Any other question? Yes, Maclovio, right?
Our next question comes from Maclovio Pina from Inca Investments. Mr. Pina, your microphone's open.
Great, thank you. I just have a very quick question. Can you please confirm the actual number of shares you have at the end of the quarter? Because I seeing two numbers here, so just want to make sure I have everything absolutely correct.
The number of shares you said, Maclovio?
Yes, please.
Yes. As of the end of December and after the first increasing in capital to pay HSBC, It was 1588.5 million shares. In order to take ADRs, you have to divide by 10.
By 10. Okay.
In February, we had a second issuance of share to make a price adjustment. This was 17.7 million shares. Again, 1.77 ADRs would be million ADRs. So today, the final number of shares is 1606.25 million shares.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Thank you very much, Paolo. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
A pleasure.
Just as a reminder, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please use the raise hand button. Wait while we pull for questions. Our next question comes from Murilo Riccini from Bradesco BBI. Please, Mr. Riccini, your microphone's open.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for the call. I would like to better understand the dynamics of the ROE. So this skyrocket of the ROE during the fourth quarter, if you could try to clean up a little bit this number with the one-offs, just to better understand the dynamics for the future. I already heard that you are expecting something around 15% for 2025. So just to confirm this number as well. Thank you.
Hi, Murilo. Yes, the fourth quarter it was impacted by the acquisition of HSBC. There, we said that the difference between the fair value and the amount paid was 724.5 billion pesos, but the net amount after some provisions we did for restructuring purposes was 485 billion pesos. Also, when we look at all the year ROE, it was influenced by the first half of the year in which we had very high yields from government bonds. For 2025, we are saying that we will have a real ROE of around 15%, a more normalized, let's say, a number. That is, or the main drivers are, well, the evolution of loans we are seeing, but also some extraordinary expenses we will have due to the merger process we are having between Galicia and HSBC's operations in Argentina. Beginning in 2026, the objective will be to go to the area between 15 and 20%, so to improve real profitability. So this is the evolution, no? Very high, extraordinary 2024. Another extraordinary year in 2025 due to the merger, and then becoming more profitable and more aggressive, if you want.
Very helpful, Pablo. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Q&A section is over. We would like to hand the floor back to Pablo Firvida for the company final remarks. Please, Mr. Pablo, your microphone's open.
Okay, well, thank you all for attending this call. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Good morning, good afternoon, have a nice weekend.
Grupo Financiero Galicia conference is now closed. We thank you for your participation and wish you a very good day.